Hi, fellow introverts. Just a quick announcement before the show. The Introvert Dear store is now open. This is something that I and a few other people have been secretly working on for months. We've been trying to pick out just the right items and make funny and inspirational designs that we hope you'll love. You can find great introvert gift items there, like fun coffee mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, pillows, phone cases, art, and more, with sayings like, "Sorry, I'm late. I didn't want to come." And "Please go away. I'm introverting," which are two of my personal favorites. And because you're a podcast listener, I'm giving you a special coupon, 20% off your entire order. Just enter the code IDPODCAST at checkout. Find the store at shop.introvertdear.com. We'll put a link in the show notes. Okay, here's the show.
Welcome to the Introvert Dear Podcast, the show devoted to helping introverts live more peaceful, meaningful lives. We are here to remind you that you don't have to be an extrovert to be happy. Now, here are your hosts, Jen Graneman and Beau Miller.
Energy. None of us has an unlimited supply, and we introverts need to be particularly mindful of how we spend ours. Mismanagement can quickly result in stress, frustration, overwhelm, lapses in productivity, and the like. That we identify energy leaks in our life and prioritize well-being is essential. Today, Michelle Kerr of Wellbeing Weekly is going to explain how we can improve in both of these areas. Michelle is a qualified counselor, successful entrepreneur, and wellness junkie. She's the creator of the platform Wellbeing Weekly, which provides mindset, well-being, and business tools and support for female entrepreneurs to thrive in their business and life. After building a successful product-based business from side hustle to full-time global brand over the past 4 years with her partner, she knows the highs and lows that can come with entrepreneur life. Struggling to find the resources and support she needed earlier on in her business journey, she decided to combine her counseling and entrepreneurial skills and knowledge to provide a space where women in business could access resources to grow their business without sacrificing their well-being. She does this through her podcast, free resources, and group coaching programs. Excited for this interview, so let's get to it. Hey, Michelle, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
So, Michelle, how did you find out that you're an introvert, and did that knowledge change your life in some way?
Yeah, so I always knew that I was somewhat introverted and definitely on the introverted end of the spectrum, but I also didn't really know entirely what being an introvert meant and what it looked like. So I knew that I hated working in open spaces. I knew that I hated answering the phone and talking to people on the phone, and also really struggled with like small talk and things like that. But I just kind of trudged through it, and I actually got really good at faking extroversion, which I think is really common amongst introverts. So it wasn't until a couple of years ago, actually, that I stumbled across the Myers-Briggs personality test. And I had heard about this a little bit in my psych training in the past, but I don't think it had resonated with me in the way that it did this time around. So I did the test and I came out as an INFJ. And I actually did the test a couple of times over a couple of days because I just wanted to make sure that it was consistent, and yet again came out as an INFJ. So I started kind of delving into the world of INFJs and went on a bit of a rabbit hole on Pinterest and things like that, and just really started to understand what that meant and what that looked like from an INFJ perspective. And yeah, basically my whole world opened up. So I just realized that, you know, all of the little behaviors that I had, all the thoughts that I had, were actually really common and, you know, normal as well. And I just remember it being like a time in my life where I just finally felt understood. And I know that this is really common with introverts, but I know especially with INFJs, because it is one of the rarest types. And, you know, they can often go through life feeling quite isolated or misunderstood. So I definitely had that feeling where, I don't know, I just felt like I belonged and everything made sense, which was really great. And I guess, yeah, it really did change my life at that point. And yeah, then basically I just started being able to build my own confidence in enforcing my boundaries, understanding my behaviors and understanding my needs and really being able to communicate them in a better way and not feeling, you know, ashamed or embarrassed about what I needed, whether that was, you know, sitting quietly for a little while and reading a book or whatever it might be that perhaps in the past I had felt was really like antisocial or, you know, my partner's an extrovert, so it was kind of competing with those different needs and not really sure whether what I was doing was quote unquote normal. And so, yeah, finding out that I was introverted and an INFJ especially just really opened up pretty much everything for me and really made me feel like I belonged. And yeah, I found communities like Introvert Dear and Yay. Yeah, there's some amazing communities out there just to feel like you belong and that there's other people that get you and understand where you're at. And yeah, it was amazing. So I am definitely so thankful that I came across all of that information. And now I just basically recommend the Myers-Briggs test to everybody I come across, just really to understand themselves and, you know, basically what works for them and what doesn't work.
And I'll just throw this in there. If you're listening and you're not sure what your Myers-Briggs personality type is, we'll drop a link to the Personality Hacker personality type assessment in the show notes. And that's a great test to check out.
Absolutely. And it's amazing just understanding yourself. Even if you're not an INFJ, you're a different type of introvert, it really gives you the freedom to be yourself and to not feel so strange. So hopefully that podcast is helping to do that for you. And Michelle, thanks for sharing how understanding yourself, your introverted self, has helped free you up as well. Before we jump into the topic of energy, it might be helpful to define our terms. So when we talk about energy, what is it that we're referring to?
Yeah, so I guess energy can have a few different names or people might refer to it a little bit differently, but essentially the way that I see it and the way that we can look at it is that it's just like that life force that's within us or that sort of sense of spirit or vibrancy or spark that, you know, we feel and it peps us up. It allows us to engage with people or things or experiences that are joyful and fulfilling for us. So when we don't have that sense of energy, we can really feel it.
So how does the concept of energy differ between introverts and extroverts? Because it's not quite the same for these two groups.
No, it's not. Yeah, so basically I think it can differ in a couple of different ways. And firstly, I think that energy gets expended in different ways. So if we look at perhaps the classic party situation where there's people everywhere and dancing and loud music and you have to engage with perhaps people you've never met or you haven't seen for a long time, that can be really draining for an introvert. It might just not be the kind of environment that really sparks them up. So they can actually find that their energy is drained quite quickly in that sort of environment compared to perhaps an extrovert who might actually feel really comfortable in that kind of environment and basically sees no drain in their energy whatsoever. So that first one is really what drains your energy, and that can be very different depending on, you know, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert and sort of what environments or people are draining for you basically. And then the second one is how we recharge our energy. So if you're an introvert, you would know that there's perhaps certain things that charge you back up after, you know, if you have been to a party or that kind of situation and you're feeling quite drained, there's going to be certain things that you know that you need to build that energy up again. So perhaps that's just having some quiet time reading a book, maybe just going on a gentle walk by yourself or, you know, whatever it might be that really works for you in recharging your energy. Whereas an extrovert, if they're feeling drained from something, they might actually rebuild their energy by, you know, going out for brunch with the people from the party and continuing the conversations or, you know, perhaps go and do a group fitness class where they're around some other people, and that really rebuilds their energy. So there's two different ways that extroverts and introverts can recharge their energy as well.
I think there's been very few times in my life where being around people actually rebuilded my energy.
I feel you.
Yeah, I work in a co-working space, and I just overheard someone a few hours ago talking to someone else, and she was saying, they were talking about having guests staying at their home, and the woman was saying, yeah, I just love having people over. The more people over at my house, the better. And I just had to stifle a laugh because I was like, oh, that sounds like my nightmare. So I'm gonna call her an extrovert.
Yeah.
I was thinking about what you were saying with extroverts and exercising, and I have a coworker who always exercises with someone else. She likes to train for triathlons. So she's riding a bike with someone, or running with someone, or going to a group fitness class, sometimes a couple in the same day. And I love to exercise too, but it looks so much different. I usually go down to my basement alone and turn on a podcast or a book I'm listening to, or just nothing, and enjoy being by myself. And that's recharging. I can't imagine after work going and doing it with more people, unless, you know,
if it were
basketball, you kind of need other people to play. But if I had a choice, I'd probably do it by myself.
I'm the same way, Bo. There's a little gym in my apartment, and I have honestly walked by the gym, and when there were too many people in it, I was just like, nope, I'm not doing this right now. Sorry. Oh, I love it when there's just no one around down there and I have it all to myself.
Oh, man.
So recharging.
So Michelle, how do you exercise?
Well, I do a daily walk with my dog every, well, morning or afternoon, depending on my time restraints. So love doing that. And it's actually where I get all of my ideas, and I just kind of, I guess, switch off and reconnect with myself and kind of what I'm working towards. So that's really great. And my other one is yoga.
Oh, great.
So that's just been huge for me. Yeah, just sort of, it's exercise. Like, obviously we're working pretty hard in some of those classes, but it also really taps into more of the spiritual well-being and connecting with my intuition and things like that. So I love it.
And the thing about yoga is you can go to a yoga class and be in a group of people, but usually the lights are turned down a little low and you're just kind of in your own little space anyways, which I think is perfect for introverts, and it can be very meditative.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think people think introverts, we don't like people. Not, and we've tried to dispel that myth quite a number of times, but it's more the way in which we are with other people. Like, are we, you know, punching through each other's personal boundaries or touching each other all the time? Or not that that's what extroverts do, but I feel like as an introvert, we do like to be around other people, but we just prefer to have more of our own personal space and time. So Michelle,
yeah, I agree.
How can we identify energy leaks in our lives?
So I think there's a couple of points with this one. And the first one is definitely building your awareness. So if you're not aware of where your energy is leaking, then it's pretty hard to be able to put a stop to it. So that's definitely the first place to start. And becoming aware of where energy is leaking can take time and practice. But some of the different things you might want to look out for could be what just doesn't feel right. So perhaps you're just feeling a little bit off in a particular situation or around particular people, or you're just feeling out of alignment or a bit disconnected. Maybe you're feeling really tired, or you go and do something or you speak to someone and after it you're just feeling really tired and, you know, even exhausted and quite drained. That's the same with perhaps feeling stressed or overwhelmed. So perhaps a situation, like if we go back to that party situation, it actually creates a lot of stress and overwhelm in you to be in that environment. So that might be a sign that that's an energy drainer for you. Some other ideas might be where you're feeling really forced or unnatural. So perhaps you're trying to fit into a bit of a mold or expectations of other people, and it just doesn't feel like what you should be doing or what you need at that particular moment. Also taking stock of your internal world, so your thoughts, your emotions, and perhaps even how that's causing certain behaviors in you. So if you're having situations where negative thoughts or emotions are coming up for you, that might be an indicator that something's a bit draining here for you. And then I think the final one as well to be mindful of is if you notice that you're someone that gets a lot of motivation suddenly, so you have all of this motivation and inspiration to do something, and that could be like a work project, it could be, you know, a new hobby or something like that. And then over the next couple of days, you really just sort of flatline and you lose all energy and motivation for it. There might just be something that's happened over the course of those couple of days that has drained you. So there are just a few different ways that perhaps you can notice where some of your energy is leaking out and what actually might have been triggering that. And then once you get better at actually being aware of those situations or people or things, the next step really is acknowledging it and not ignoring it. So basically you want to be saying, all right, well, I've noticed that this isn't working for me. I'm feeling really tired or stressed or out of alignment with this thing. And instead of just ignoring it and pushing through, I'm actually going to acknowledge it and I'm going to do something about it. And once you've kind of got the awareness and the acknowledgement of the energy leak, that's when you can actually work on addressing it.
That's really interesting, Michelle. And I think on an even more extreme end is something we have been calling the introvert hangover, which is when you just feel completely wiped out. And a lot of introverts have even told me that they feel physically ill when their energy has drained out that much. You know, they'll get physical symptoms like headaches or muscle aches or stomach aches or things like that. So it can be really rough. I mean, anybody can experience energy drain, right? Introverts and extroverts. But for us introverts, it can be even more intense and even more common.
Absolutely. And I think with the introvert hangover as well, especially if you've been piling on thing after thing after thing and it's building and you're not really noticing what you're doing, or perhaps you've done a number of sort of extroverted things or energy draining things in one day or across one week and you haven't really noticed that, that's when it can really hit you quite hard. So yeah, like I said, it's starting to build that awareness around what's working and what's not working.
Jen, I was just going to ask of the things that Michelle mentioned, the triggers or the symptoms, I should say, of energy leaks. Did any of those stick out to you as this is the one I normally turn to, or I notice that clues me in that maybe I'm spending too much energy or that I'm engaged in something that's not a good fit for me?
Well, I'll say that these days it kind of comes down to a lack of motivation. If I love what I do as far as work, right? I run Introvert Dear and I love to get up in the morning and work on my website and write and kind of tend to the details of it. But when I've done too much, either socially or work-wise, or just haven't had enough time to recharge, I notice that I get up and I feel no motivation to do what I'm doing. Mm. But even more than that, I was going to add that for a long time, my problem was I wasn't even aware that my energy was being leaked out. So my energy drain symptoms were even more severe. You know, I'd be exhausted. I'd have to sleep for hours, you know, nap. I would be just like unable to move off the couch. So I'm really glad you pointed that out, Michelle, that awareness and then taking action is the first step, because once we become aware of our energy leaking out, then we can actually sort of mitigate it, right? And then hopefully our symptoms won't be as severe. So Michelle, what have been the most common energy drains for the people that you've worked with?
One might be if you're forcing yourself to perhaps be someone else or do things that aren't necessarily natural to you. So that could be things that are just expected of you by other people in your life, or perhaps your boss or your work colleagues or your family, or even just society on the whole. And also, if you're not quite sure, perhaps as an introvert, that you are actually an introvert, you might be trying really hard to fit that extroverted mold and, you know, try to fit in with those around you who are more extroverted. And that can be really draining for you when you're not kind of clued into what works for you. I think another one, and a really big one, is not having clear boundaries. And what happens with this is that you might end up working really long hours in your business, or you might say yes to projects that just aren't a good fit for you energetically, or you might say yes to going to that huge family function that you know is going to be a massive drainer, things like that. And you're just not really clear on what you're willing to say yes and no to. And that's where kind of energy can start leaking out a bit. So I think that's a really big one. I think also getting stuck listening to your inner critic, and that if you're someone that has quite a negative sort of internal voice and you get really stuck listening to that, it can be a drainer because you expend so much mental energy listening to that voice and perhaps acting on that voice that you might do things or, you know, have emotions around things that are just really draining for you and not really necessary. Also, I think the overwhelm, so putting too much on your plate, you know, perhaps doing too many extroverted type things in one day or one week, or, you know, even if you're not an introvert, just, you know, saying yes to way too many things, and basically it all kind of comes crumbling down because it's too overwhelming and too much for you to take on. And then I think another one, which kind of links in a little bit to boundaries, but it's being around people who might not be an energetic match for you, or they might not respect your boundaries or your needs. And this can be in the form of, you know, romantic relationships or work colleagues or bosses or family members who might not necessarily get you. And especially if you're introverted and they're not, they might not quite understand what your own needs are and what you need to do to recharge your energy, and they might kind of cut in and push those boundaries with you or disrespect you in some way, and that can be a massive energy drainer as well.
I can really resonate with the thoughts you'd mentioned with telling where the energy leaks are, that if you have negative thoughts or emotions, that's a clue, or it's also a sign that maybe you've taken something on that's not a good energy match for you or not a good fit for your gift mix. And that totally resonates with me. I'm wondering if you've had any personal experiences, Michelle, that you can share where you've wrestled with this topic of energy, and how has this played out in your life?
Back when I was working as a counselor, and I worked in a couple of different industries as a counselor, but all of them were open plan desk scenarios. And as a counselor, I do have to make sensitive calls sometimes and have conversations that, you know, I don't necessarily want the open plan office being able to hear. So I always really struggled with that open plan situation, not only for getting my work done, but also just the constant distractions. And you'd have colleagues coming up to you and having a chat about the weekend, or, you know, kind of just the hustle and bustle of that kind of environment. And I just found it really, really draining for me, and that I wasn't able to get my work done as effectively and as efficiently, basically, as I wanted to. And that just started creating anxiety and stress. And what I actually found that I kept doing, and this was across multiple jobs, is I would go and find like a meeting room or a counseling room and go and sit in there and work on a project or a report that I had, just so that I could disconnect from all of that hustle and bustle and just kind of focus and get quiet and work on what I wanted to work on. And I had bosses and I had colleagues that would come and knock on the door and check that I was okay. And, you know, they thought maybe something was wrong and I was upset. And I was like, no, 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 like I'm fine. I just need to actually focus. And this is the environment that I need that works for me. And, you know, I think this is probably a common experience with introverts in the workplace, especially because, you know, we are seeing that open plan is a lot more popular these days. But yeah, I just really struggled with that. So that was a huge energy drainer for me. And yeah, I just found that when I was able to acknowledge my needs and, you know, create those boundaries for myself, I was able to get the work done that I needed and kind of patch up that leak. So yeah, just, I guess for me, it was, you know, not trying to fit into that mold of what my office expected of me and, you know, what everyone else was able to do so naturally. And that I just really needed to acknowledge that that wasn't me, and that there was options for me you know, to patch up those leaks and to get my work done in a way that worked for me, even if it perhaps wasn't the norm.
That's really interesting. I always find it so peculiar that people equate wanting to be alone with something being wrong. And that's not always the case, you know, and a lot of times that's not the case for introverts. We just want that low stimulus environment, or we want to concentrate.
Jen, I just wanted to point out that you're in a conference room right now, right?
I am, yeah. Hiding away.
So apropos.
Hiding away from everyone else. So, Michelle, what are some common misconceptions or even some bad recommendations that people have about energy and managing it?
One of them, I think, is that if everybody thinks that energy is just constantly within us at this certain consistent level and that it just needs to be tapped into. And the problem with that is that energy is not just at this consistent level. We lose it and we gain it, and we really need to nurture it and recharge. So I think that's one really big misconception. And I think introverts would really resonate with that, that it's not just kind of this constant level and we just kind of tap into it as we need, but we really need to be nurturing and recharging when we find that our energy is dipping. And I think another misconception is that we all top up our energy in the same ways. So, you know, we might experience this with extroverts or even just other introverts who might just have different needs, and that they might expect that we all just recharge our energy in the same ways, and what works for them will work for us. So, for example, someone might say to you, oh, just go for a run and clear your head, or, you know, go out and see your friends for lunch or something like that, where that works for them and that recharges them, but it might be an absolute nightmare for us and it might actually drain us even more. So it's just really knowing what recharges you. And like I said, that's different for everybody. So building that awareness is the key. And once you do that, and you know what recharges you, you're going to be more confident to communicate that with other people and to really honor it as well.
Yeah, that's great. And while energy may not be able to be created or destroyed, apparently it must be recharged. And that leads into another question. How can people identify the best way to patch up their energy leaks and to recharge? Just experiment and figure out what works for them.
The foundations are having things like a healthy diet, drinking water, and having some form of exercise and movement in your life, because I think the more that you're charging up your physical body, the more that you're going to be able to charge that sense of energy and that spirit within you as well. So they're definitely the first things I'd be saying to be mindful of. So if you're eating junk food and you're not really exercising at all, you're probably going to feel more tired and more lethargic, and you're not going to feel as energetic as you would like. And so when these things come into your life that drain you even further, you're just going to end up feeling really depleted. So I definitely just note that those sorts of more physical side of things are really important. And then I think another great thing is creating mental space for yourself. And that can be in the form of just some alone time. It could be through meditation or something like that, where, or even yoga, because that's where it happens for me a lot, is just having some space to actually tune into yourself and notice what's going on with your thoughts or your emotions and what you actually need at the time, and perhaps where the energy is being leaked. And that, like Jen said as well, that's when you can actually start to address it. And I think as well, on top of all of that, is just making improvements to where your energy leaks are happening. So this can be a really individual process, like I said, depending on what your leaks are and what your needs are from person to person. But for an example, if you're perhaps someone who's a yes person and, you know, you always say yes to people, you're a people pleaser, and you really struggle to create boundaries for yourself and say no to things, then it might be about just starting to write down your boundaries, starting to understand what you will and will not do, what you will and will not say yes to. And then once you've kind of got clear on what those boundaries are, you can start testing that with, you know, perhaps some people in your life that you're most comfortable with. And you can start practicing saying no to things, or perhaps prioritizing yourself or your own well-being and communicating what your needs are. And then you can slowly build from there. So yeah, I think just summing up, it's the physical side of things, the diet, the movement, you know, drinking water and things like that. Then it's knowing what your energy leaks are, and then slowly building a bit of a plan to address them. So how can you avoid those energy leaks in the future? How can you perhaps have a conversation with someone around your boundaries or your needs? How can you perhaps, you know, avoid events entirely or attend events in a way that is supportive for you? And yeah, just building from there.
Michelle, when you start doing these things, when you start paying attention to your energy and well-being, what happens? How does your life change?
Well, I think as soon as you start patching up your energy leaks, I think you're going to notice, obviously, your energy is going to improve, and you're just going to feel so much more energetic, joyful, fulfilled, happy, able to actually go out and do things that you enjoy. And, you know, I kind of think of it like if you have a bucket of water, for example, and if you think that there's all these holes in the bucket and they're your energy leaks, and, you know, you're just letting all of this water or energy run out of you. And what the aim is to start patching up those holes. So as you start to do that, obviously you're able to hold the water in the bucket for longer, and you've got that energy inside you. And once you're full of energy, you can then start giving that to other people in a more mindful and considered way. So you are at a point where your energy is topped up, and then you can start giving to others, whether that's family members, whether that's at work, or it might even just be giving back to yourself. So knowing that you're in a position where you can start to prioritize your own well-being and do some things like self-care or things that are actually going to keep topping up that energy for you. And, you know, I think that once you've got that, you're just going to feel more aligned. You're going to be more in tune with yourself and what your needs are. You're going to have more balance, and you're going to have really just the ability to focus more on you and what works for you in your own life. And yeah, I think that can be a massive improvement for someone who perhaps is feeling like most of the time they're completely drained.
Yeah, I love that. So shifting toward practicality, how can we do a better job prioritizing well-being, and how do you think that shift will affect our day-to-day lives?
I think one of the key strategies that's really simple to implement, and it's one that I do recommend as a starting point, is just integrating some sort of morning or daily routine into your life. And I say daily just because we want that feeling to go beyond just the morning. So it's one thing to do all these really awesome things in the morning, but then the rest of the day like doesn't plan out, or, you know, you do all these things that create energy leaks. So we really want to be mindful of carrying that feeling throughout the whole day, and perhaps even into more of an evening routine as well. And what that could look like is even just spending 15 minutes in the morning or sometime throughout the day where you just sort of take time to do things that re-energize you. And that could be things like just a 10-minute meditation, or tuning into yourself and where you're at, doing some intention setting, perhaps writing in a journal, or going for a walk or some exercise, or just having a really nice quiet breakfast, reading a chapter of a book, whatever it might be that you know really fills you up and gets you to a point where your energy is topped up at the beginning of the day, so that you can then sort of carry that throughout the day. And yeah, it can be as simple as maybe getting up 15 minutes earlier and sort of prioritizing some time for yourself. It could be done, you know, on your work break during lunchtime. It could be, like I said, an evening routine. So perhaps you kind of do some things before you go to sleep, and really just trying to create that time for yourself where you're recharging your energy and being really conscious of it.
And Michelle, do these changes cost anything? Do they cost time, energy, money, or anything else?
I don't think they really cost money. I mean, there's so many effective changes that you can make in your life in regards to your energy that are free. So I just mentioned some, like could be meditation or journal writing or going out for a walk or, you know, whatever it might be for you. But then there are some things that can cost money. So it might be, you know, getting a massage or going out and having a breakfast somewhere or things that perhaps are really energy building for you, but there is a cost involved. But generally you can get started without having to spend a dime. And then I guess in terms of actually the time and the energy, you're actually basically identifying your energy leaks and you're patching them up and you're replacing them with things that actually improve your energy. So while that takes time and energy in the first place, you're actually kind of canceling out the time and the energy that you're losing by not addressing it. So, yeah, I don't think it necessarily takes any extra time in the long run. And, you know, the time that and the energy that cancels out basically leaves you feeling much better in the process. So it's a win-win.
On more of a personal note, I'm just wondering, when you feel overwhelmed or unfocused, maybe as a result of an energy leak or a project that you took on that you didn't anticipate wouldn't be a good energy match, and maybe you lose focus temporarily, what do you typically do?
I really struggle if I overwhelm myself with too much work, perhaps, or I've got too many things happening in one day that probably aren't realistically going to get done, and I kind of pack on the expectations and the pressure on myself. So I really need a lot of alone time and also space just to get sort of mental clarity and tune into what I'm feeling overwhelmed about in the first place, and, you know, then be able just to take the time to refocus on what I need to do to get myself out of that place. And I'll do this generally. I can just go and sit on my own for a little bit, whether that's, you know, in my work office, whether it's in my bedroom, depending on where I am, or maybe it's just going for a walk to clear my head. And I'll just sort of tune into my thoughts and my emotions and kind of just ask myself what I know I need to move forward effectively. And I think that that really helps. And like I said, I also do yoga, and that, you know, really creates that space for me as well, because I have to put my phone away. I can't really go anywhere. So it really gives me that opportunity to tune in and just kind of notice if there's anything throughout my day that's impacting me, and just allows me to kind of calm my mind and refocus on, you know, what I'm trying to work towards, what my goals are, and how I can do that in the most effective way so that my overwhelm reduces.
It's interesting that sometimes we need to carve out space and maybe stop working, which could initially limit our productivity in order to produce more productivity and a sense of greater rest, better energy balance. I think that's one of the things that I'm taking away from this conversation today. So I appreciate those thoughts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I schedule blank space into my diary, which might sound really strange, but if I don't actually consciously make time for myself, it's probably not going to happen, and I'll just fill the space with another work task or whatever I'm doing. And yeah, so I have to consciously make sure that time is there for me. And yeah, that, like you said, it might feel like it's unproductive time, but once you start practicing it and committing to it, you'll probably find that you're more calm, you're more focused and more energetic moving forward.
Michelle, really quickly, what are one or two books that have been a big influence on your life?
One of the biggest books that pops out for me is The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. I think that's how you say his last name. And this is just one of my favorites because I actually was given it to me when I was about 13 or something, and I didn't quite understand it at the time, but I've obviously reread it since, and it really just started getting me into that mindset of gratitude and acknowledging the present and not getting too stuck in the past or the future, and, you know, really just taking stock of what we have right in front of us. And yeah, I really love that one, and I go back to it a lot for that reason. And then I think a second one is The Happiness Trap by Russ Harris. And that was sort of similar in the sense that it really got me understanding that happiness doesn't necessarily come from material things or, you know, particular people in our lives or relationships or whatever it might be, but it comes from gratitude for what we already have and what we have within us and also what we have externally. And the more that we can be grateful and happy and appreciative of that, the more that we can bring more things into our lives that continue to make us happy. So I really liked that one as well for just, I guess, getting into that mindset that we're in control of how we perceive our reality. Because I think that's really empowering.
Well, Michelle, we really appreciate your time, your thoughts, your expertise, your insights, and have enjoyed this conversation. How can our listener learn more about you and what you do?
So you can come and find me on my website, which is wellbeingweekly.com.au. But a great place to start, and especially if you're looking to build or grow your business and interested in sort of the mindset and the inner game and prioritizing your well-being, then my podcast, Wellbeing Weekly, is a great place to start because I really kind of dive into those kind of topics and aim to support you along your business journey. I've also got some coaching programs that are available which do specifically support female entrepreneurs, but support them to achieve more clarity and confidence and courage in their business journey. And that's all on my website as well if you want to take a look at that. And I'm also usually hanging out on Instagram, which is at Wellbeing Weekly. So you can definitely come over there and say hello.
Michelle, it was really great talking with you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Jen and Bo.
Thanks for listening to the Introvert Dear podcast. Make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss out on future episodes. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. And remember, there's nothing wrong with being quiet and spending time alone.